OpenServe is more than just SA's largest telecoms infrastructure provider. It's the answer to new ways of doing business, a connection to cutting-edge technology and infinite possibilities. A connection to tomorrow. Connect with us at openserve.co.za.
This episode of Talk Central is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time.
I'm Richard van der Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 237 for the week starting 7 October 2018.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central. You can WhatsApp the show on 071-999-1111.
On Talk Central this week, we're at Rage, baby.
Yep, all the latest from South Africa's biggest geek culture event. Also this week, Microsoft unveils new Surface devices and headphones.
Nice.
And no, they're not coming to South Africa, Rehot.
Oh.
Retrenchments at Liquid Telecom and Facebook cracking down on fake news in South Africa.
It's Friday for a change. We're at Rage and it's time to talk everything technology and gaming, of course. Lots and lots of gaming.
Well, welcome to the show and welcome to Rage. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan? From a very noisy Rage.
Very noisy Rage, although we are in the VIP section here, sitting upstairs around a very, in a very nice looking boardroom. But the noise from the show floor is still finding its way in here.
No, we're certainly not going to be closing any company meetings at this boardroom table today, that's for sure.
Noisy and loud, as Rage always is.
Beautiful, wow.
Started today, Friday. We're here, it's Friday afternoon, but it's going on all weekend. Richard and I like to get here on the Friday because it's quieter before the masses arrive tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it's going to be epic, but I think crazy
chaotic
tomorrow. I will be, obviously, to see it. Mm-hmm. That's how you document what the craziness is all about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So we did the show here last year as well, actually. I think possibly the year before that as well.
Yeah, we did.
We did. Your thoughts, what are your initial thoughts of the show this year?
I'm always a fan of Rage. You know, it's always kind of nice for the industry to get together. Our media colleagues are here. You know, all the big guys in the companies are here. So it's always nice to just catch up with everybody. Also, for me, it signifies kind of the end of the year, right? So get your gaming purchases in for the December gaming period, really.
Yeah.
But it's also nice to get some hands-on time with some of the new titles. I see Black Ops 3, what's it, 3 or 4? I don't know. The new one is out. It's
4, I think.
4, yeah, 4, you're right, actually. So, you know, it's always about getting some
Battlefield, hang on.
Battlefield 5. It's Battlefield 5 and Black Ops 4, I think. We stand to be correct. Anyway, yeah, so it's always nice to get some hands-on time with the gaming, but let's not forget about the hardware. There's some, we saw the new RTX on the show floor, the 2080
Ti. Thing of beauty.
What a beauty. 3 fans. It's massive.
Yeah.
Behind glass, though. Not for us to take home tonight, unfortunately.
Just wanted to touch it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, we still have some walking around to do. I mean, it's kind of sensory overload, right? I often find that I have to do a few passes of the actual event to kind of find the things that I really enjoy looking at. In terms of spending money, there's so much you can spend your money on, right?
I bought a couple of T-shirts. As did you.
As did we. Yeah, we should have actually worn those. aptly relevant Musk shirts.
Yes.
But yeah, check out Twitter and Facebook for those photographs, right?
Yeah, awesome Musk shirts. Let's get high. It's on the front of them with a spaceship taking off from planet Earth.
Fantastic. T-shirt terrorists. Well done, guys.
Yeah, very, very nice stand. And I picked up a T-shirt with these big monsters on that says fake news. I'm going to wear that to the next press conference I go to.
Oh, yeah, that's a brilliant idea. I mean, also a lot of stuff you can buy here. You know, the kind of the figurines and stickers and badges. And there's a lot of pop culture gaming-related stuff, you know. Mm. So it's one time of the year that I kind of get my desk... desk jewelry sorted out, if I can put it like that. You know, the little figurines you put by a desk on your bookshelf and those kind of things.
The show is a little bit more muted than last year. Last year, it looked like the guys who were exhibiting had invested a lot of money in some of these stands. We saw the Liquid Telecom gaming stand last time. Much less money, I felt, going in this year. So smaller stands, still good stuff, still worth visiting, I think. But not as big as last year. Now, I wonder if that's to do with the fact that Comic-Con just happened a couple of weeks ago.
Most certainly it would have, because remember, these companies only have so much spend every year, right? Mm. And if something new comes along, you know, if Comic-Con does have a very big name, it's an international show, people are going to make the decision and kind of split their budget.
Yeah.
And we can definitely see that here with Rage this year. It's like you said, the stands aren't... we used to see stands that were multi-stories in previous years. Yeah. Now they're all pretty straightforward. Look, we still have quality stands here, which I think is fantastic. So all the big titles are here. Mm. You know, the stands that you would expect to find here for the guys selling the memorabilia and all those little things, you'll find them here as well.
Some of those smaller stands are actually really nice. I spent a lot of time at those.
Some really, really cool stuff. Yeah, so again, for the purchasing consumer, I think there's still loads. But I guess we'll need to see what... I haven't even seen what some of the big exclusive titles are that's here. Maybe some of the new things that we don't know about, so we still need to go and discover that on the show floor.
Yeah.
But yeah, certainly less money being spent all around, I think.
Mm. And no doubt a symptom of the economy as well.
But let's be honest, gaming has got a very unique way of being resilient to kind of financial pressures like this. Mm. You might get people buying fewer gaming hardware or game titles, gaming hardware, but they still allocate spend to it, right? If you're a fan of this of gaming in general, it's your priority, right? Mm. You will make sure you've got some money to spend on that game. Mm. See you through to the next year.
And Rage, of course, is all about the LAN party, the LAN event.
Yeah.
And we took a walk through there earlier. I'll be posting some pictures on Tech Central probably a bit later today. Took quite a few photos in the LAN gaming area. And it always amazes me. It's not something I would ever do. But some of these guys, they come here for the whole weekend. They bring sleeping bags. And they just live it for 72 hours.
In my past life, I used to do a lot of that. It's a lot of fun, especially when you get up with a bunch of friends. You know, you kind of set up here. But a lot of the shine of landing has been taken away by online gaming, right? So
yeah.
I much rather today sit at home playing games online, so I'm still having that same experience. But there is a lot to be said for coming to a place like this, being here all weekend. I mean, the party really happens for the LANers late at night. So, you know, when the show floor closes and these guys are the last in the venue, you know, then the fun starts for them because now they can just focus on their gaming. During the daytime, they're out and about in the show floor and that kind of thing. So if you want to experience a different Rage, then you definitely do the LAN and see how this place changes at night.
And they've moved the LAN area. Well, they've still got the upper mezzanine level above the show floor where people can play and set up their rigs. But they've moved the main area that was on the show floor into a more private area where it's a lot quieter.
Yeah, yeah.
Which seems nicer for the gamers.
Yeah, I think there's various spots as well. So, I mean, I recall you could buy tickets in various spots. Some of them on the top mezzanine floor, like you said, which is a lot louder and kind of different vibe. And then having the other space where it's a little bit more quieter. It's a carpeted venue, I think, or carpeted room. So it's, you know, it just feels a bit warmer, I think, which is where I would want to be if I'm coming here.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, your rig is quite big, right?
Yeah.
You're going to need to hire a trailer just to get that thing in your car, bring it here, all the power cables. To be honest, I don't have the energy for that. I love sitting at my desk and gaming. I mean, I've got my space there, all my stuff is around me. You kind of get into a zone. Mm. As you get older, I think that's what one prefers.
Definitely.
I would like to do it again one day.
I mean, the people out there are youngsters. Yeah.
A lot of them, but you will also be surprised. There are certainly older people.
A couple of toppies out there.
But if it's, you know, again, it's an experience rather than anything else. You come with people. You don't come sit on your own and play against other people. You know, you come here with a group of friends and, you just get into all these games, into the gaming. It's a fantastic vibe.
Yeah. So what else grabbed you as you were walking around this morning? Anything...
One of the things I'm always excited about to see is local gaming guys, the Coded at Home. Home Coders is some of the local development houses. Celestial Games is one of the big ones. And the thing that really excited me is what they've launched this week, actually, at Rage, if I'm not mistaken. But it's essentially a new gaming platform, and the name completely escapes me now. I think Table...
Tabletop or something.
Tabletop Games. I'll look it up now. Mm-hmm. But my interview is actually only this afternoon with them, so I don't have all the information. But essentially what they've built is a gaming platform for other indie gamers to build games on. Now, unlike a normal game that you just install on your PC and run it and you play it as you normally would, this is taking on the tabletop genre. Now, if you've played some of these team games, you would kind of know what I'm talking about. But essentially what this is you have people sitting in front of the TV, so you invite your friends over, you just take your smartphone out, you install the app, and then depending on the game you play, obviously, with this system, it's like a Steam type of affair, right? So you'd have all the games there. You would all be playing the game together, and depending on what the game mechanics require you to do, a good example of explaining this is a quiz game. So you could all have your phone with ABCD on your screen. On this TV screen would pop up the question, and then you would, on your pad, essentially just... pick the right answer. So that's a very simplified version of what this gaming system is. What I saw one of the guys do was paddling a canoe upriver, and then on your screen you would actually then do the tapping and the performing of whatever actions required on screen. So it's kind of bringing board games into a digital era. If you haven't played one of these games yet, it's a heck of a lot of fun. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to be doing. And that so far stood out for me quite a lot. Obviously, all the gaming notebooks and the gaming hardware, you know, RGB fans, there's a lot to see in that. But always worth checking out the notebook stands as well. There's some really, the MSI and Alienware Rangers are spectacular.
Some of the cases I saw were really nice. It's amazing how big some of these cases are. I mean, I saw one downstairs that was the size of a bar fridge.
There's probably a ball fridge in there as well. But I mean, these cases are also nice. I mean, you want to show off your PC. A lot of these cases are for, you know, you can build two computers in a lot of these. So for high-end geeks who want to run a little home server and a gaming machine in one, you can do that. But yeah, cases, not as big as what they used to be in terms of, I guess, people buying it. But having said that, I saw two or three guys building, so they obviously bought new cases and they're building their machine in on the LAN floor, which is always fun to see. I just hope they don't mess it up and sit with a broken PC for the rest of the weekend, because it's quite dark. I mean, building your machine in the dark could be tricky.
Need a miner's lamp.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, even looking at the LAN area, the various computer types, you know, the various people playing it, I mean, from all ages, all genders, it's nice to see geeks coming together like this. And this is what rages for me, I guess. This is why I look forward to it every year.
Yeah. The big games in the LAN gaming area, to me, just walking through, look like PUBG once again.
Yeah.
And Overwatch.
Overwatch, definitely. A lot of Counter-Strike Go as well, still. And I also saw some Warcraft guys.
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft, wow. So, and a lot of Dota as well, which is always around. But yeah, this is the fun thing about coming to a place like this, seeing all those LAN games, is seeing what the local guys are playing. Because, you know, that when we're playing online, we play a handful of games that we are exposed to.
Yeah.
Because we enjoy them. Yeah, you kind of see, okay, somebody else might put you onto a new game and you'll install it and then play the rest of the weekend.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of what that community is about, right? It's bringing some realism to this digital world of ours, and LAN games is one way to do that.
And the amount of file sharing that must be going on in there.
Yeah, it must be. Well, I'll chat to the networking guys at some point over the weekend and see what they have to say. I'm sure, there's a lot of countermeasures in place. They do strongly try and prevent large file copying, because it does degrade the network in general. And if you look at the military-style network that these guys set up, I mean, you essentially have to handle a couple of hundred network connections all running at gigabit connections.
I didn't have a close look, but I saw they had some very big switches in there.
Oh, yeah. So every cluster of desk has a big switch, a lot of ports. It's not. And imagine the cabling that must be required to bring all of these things together. And it's all internet connected, obviously, as well. So you have to manage the internet side and the local area network. Those administrators must see a lot of things, I'm sure.
Just monitor the traffic and see what's flowing across that network.
But I think with the prevalence of I was having a chat with somebody about this the other day, you know, the prevalence of gaming now, or the way that gaming is now with Steam, you know, the way that you buy your games online. I used to come here and buy my discs every year. Now, you know, unless there's a special, I would just buy it online on Steam or on Origin, because it's just so much easier, right? And your license is there forever. So I guess, you know, and also because these games authenticate differently, you know, unless if you're playing online, there's no way to pirate the game. So the only benefit you get is to play single player games. Your favorite, The Witcher, you know, you can probably play that in a cracked version. But a lot of the online, or all of the online games, you know, it's not especially like PUBG. You don't pirate it, and they're cheap enough. I think people do want to invest money in it.
Yeah.
But let's also not forget Fortnite, which is arguably the biggest game in the world right now. It's free. Which is fantastic.
You can make a good point.
There we go.
So there we go. That's Rage 2018. How much are tickets this week? I think 150 rand a day, aren't they?
I think, I don't know, actually.
I think they're
we get the media pass, so we don't...
I'm pretty sure it's 150 for a day, and then
there is a weekend pass.
300 rand for a weekend pass, I think it is. Something like that, yeah. It's definitely 150 for one day, though.
Look, and you can be busy here for the full weekend. There's so much to see, and a lot of people come here just to play games, or not bring their own computer to play games on the stands and try the demos and get as much game time on.
Because
you're obviously limited with some of these, the new demos, you can only pay for so much. So you rotate the whole time. It's a lot of fun if you have the time to spend just to stand in queues and play games and see the early access.
Yes.
What geeks we are.
Yeah, I won't be back this weekend, but I know you will be.
Oh, yeah, I'll be here Saturday and Sunday. But again, you know, for me, it's just about being part of the buzz. I think, you know, it's nice seeing all these people.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Right, there's other news to talk about this week, but we're going to take a quick ad break.
And a quiz.
We haven't done the quiz. Oh, my word. Thank you,
Rafa. Just totally taken it out of us.
Let's do the quiz.
Let's do the quiz.
Very belated quiz.
First question. Which director of EOH said this week he will step down?
Zappa and Net1 said this week that they will create a new joint venture to pursue QR payments in Africa. What is the JV called?
Third question. Prospective submarine cable SAEX said this week it has contracted which company to do a desktop survey of the planned route?
Which telecom executive has been seconded to SAA as interim chief financial officer, for a period of 12 months?
And the final question. Elon Musk this week poked fun at the Securities and Exchange Commission. What did he suggest the SEC stand for?
And we'll get to the answers at the end of the show. But right now it is time to take that ad break. We'll be back right after this.
Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Are you a search engine? Because you found me.
I feel we have a strong connection.
Well, you're pretty fly for a Wi-Fi. Should we drop it like a hotspot and head back to yours so we can show Max and snuggle? Let's get giga with it.
But I don't have fiber. Don't get caught in 50 shades of delay. Broadband your horizons and switch to Vox's super fast, super reliable fiber network. Experience the momentum. Connect your world. Visit us at vox.co.za/fiber.
Well, welcome back to the show, Richard, and welcome back to Rage.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Rage 2018. There weren't a lot of new games out on the show floor, I thought, this year. There were one or two early release things that were being shown off, but nothing... Not as many as I think this Black Ops,
the Black Ops is probably the biggest one that I saw. Yeah, you're right. I didn't see anything else that is a lot bigger.
Yeah.
But I guess that's also the general, that's just the launch phases of the games.
So yeah, most of them coming November timeframe.
And also, apparently if you have early access, the only reason why we're seeing Call of Duty is because of it's the beta's out now, so you can play.
Right.
It's very selected and limited, but you can get access to it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's look at the week's other news. Did you have a look at Microsoft's announcement this week of new hardware devices?
Yeah.
So new Surface tablets, Surface computer, laptop, and Surface Studio. I really want one of those.
Oh, that's a beautiful device.
They are beautiful, but they start at $3,500.
Comparing that to Apple hardware, certainly still getting a lot more bang for your buck.
Are you?
I think so. That's the biggest desktop machine that I would... Well, that's a big desktop machine that I would love to have.
I must say, I would order that over the iMac any day. Any day.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm. No, it seems to be a lot more... And just the way... It's a different way of interacting with your computer, right? It's not just a screen that's horizontal.
But it can be if you want it to be.
It can be. Mm. But I love the way that it slides and the way that you can interact with it. I mean, that is how we did, when you're working on a big desk, So it gives you that...
So you can
same field.
Pull it down, do some drawing. It's great for creatives.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Or for gamers if you want to play at an angle.
But it's an incremental update to that, incremental updates to the other Surface products. What I was surprised to see that Microsoft announced a set of over-ear headphones. I think this is the first time that Microsoft has ever done headphones.
Yeah, well, they haven't done anything like that. But, I mean, I wonder why. It's an interesting thing to get into.
Yeah.
But I guess peripherals is where a lot of these companies make money. I mean, Microsoft has always had good hardware, right? I would trust a Microsoft brand of hardware because I've not really had any bad experiences with the actual products themselves. You know, there's been some pretty good designs, and that's what I want to look to Microsoft for is that interesting new design, especially with if you look at the Surface, some of their mice. So it'll be interesting to see how these headphones actually perform in the real world.
Yeah, sadly, none of them are coming to South Africa, so we may never know.
Yeah, some clever person might import a few and give us access to them. But I wonder, why would they not bring them? I mean, it seems like a...
I don't know. I mean,
limited manufacturing stock, maybe? testing circle.
I just don't think Microsoft is really focused on the hardware business in South Africa. I mean, they barely bring their Xbox to this country. I mean,
look how long it took them to bring. That's a good point. Your Xbox is a big issue here.
Look how long it took to bring the Xbox One X here. And I'm still not sure there's general.
I was just going to say, I don't think if it's, I've seen them, I've seen one or two arrive, but
they
I don't think
around,
officially launched yet.
So headphones, I'm not sure I'd buy a pair of Microsoft headphones over a pair of Sennheiser's or Bose headphones. I mean, those guys have been
The price is good if they bring something to the market.
Well, it's $350, so it's 5,000, 6,000 rand.
It's not really. Yeah, then it's a very niche product, I think, in that sense. Because if you're looking at a game or audio file, they would stick with what they know, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's kind of the same problem that Apple has. I mean, even if you're an Apple user, are you really going to go and buy a pair of Beats headphones?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you're an entry-level consumer that doesn't know the audio market, you think, you see Apple, you see Beats, you think, oh, Beats must be a great brand. But if you're an audiophile, you know that you don't actually buy Beats.
Yeah, it's various. But I guess we need to listen to these or actually understand why they're bringing them. Maybe there's a bigger plan and they're just testing the waters, and maybe this is not the end result, but it's just a step into a new direction. Because personal audio, anything personal, you know, your smartphone, personal watch, there's big business in that. Maybe Microsoft is looking to step up its hardware game internationally. Let's hope.
Let's hope, yeah. What was the name of that iPod competitor they brought out all those years ago? Do you remember that device? It became the butt of jokes.
Wasn't that the Zune?
The Zune.
The Zune, yes. Zune, yeah. It was, yeah, that was a pretty big flop, that.
It was a massive flop.
Look, when I saw it the first time, again, it was an alternative product. I thought it was great. You know, the concept was great, but yeah, like with so many things at the time, you know, against Apple or
Apple,
competing against Apple.
Apple was on the ascendancy.
They just took it, and they just had the right formula for getting things right.
Mm.
I guess other, yeah.
There was an issue of Seinfeld, I think, where they were taking the piss out of it. It was one of the characters in there was going, "What is that? A Zune? What do you use that for?"
Oh, Microsoft, we do love you.
So probably not a hell of a lot more to say on Microsoft. So so let's move along.
Unless we can get one of those Surface computers.
Oh, I'd love to get one just to play with for a week.
I was actually chatting on a side note. I was speaking to Dell. They've got something similar for creative.
They do.
So I'm busy organizing one to play with. Might be well also comparing notes on that. Because if that's available and Microsoft Surface is not a good alternative, I think.
Yeah. Great stuff. And I know Dell's PR woman listens to the show. So.
Yeah.
Hi, Deborah. Send us the toys. So, Liquid Telecom, a bit of bad news this week. They announced that they are going to be going through a retrenchments program. This is obviously the business that was once known as Neotel until the Liquid Telecom acquisition. Rashad Shah running that operation now. I think they've announced it in a very responsible way, but they're going to be retrenching, it appears, at least 50 people, possibly more, as part of a digitalization program and automation program. So basically they're going to be automating jobs out of the system. And they've had to go through a restructure as well. I think there's some legacy issues there from the Neotel days. But it just shows tough times, right? Telkom has also announced that they're going through a voluntary retrenchment program. And there are other ICT companies out there as well that are either mulling retrenchments or have started on them. So, once again, weak economy, tough times. Automation is happening. IT moving into the cloud, so fewer people are needed. It's interesting times. A tough economy that could get even worse.
Yeah, and it starts with all these little things, right? If the price goes up of everything, it really affects business at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Never good to hear that.
Yeah, we're in a tough position now. I mean, the oil price is sitting at $80 a barrel, $86 a barrel, I beg your pardon. The rand, earlier this morning, was sitting at around 14.80.
Sure.
And the petrol price has just gone above 17 rand a litre here in Gauteng. And if the oil price and the rand continue deteriorating like this, it could be 18 rand by next month.
That's probably the scariest, because that really has ramifications to
everyone.
Everything gets transported, right?
Yeah.
So everything from food to our beloved technology goes up.
Inflation goes up. Reserve Bank looks at this and says maybe it's time to start hiking interest rates, because inflation is going to rise outside of our target band.
Oh, yeah.
Rise interest rates, economy gets even worse, could get into a vicious cycle. Certainly, we're not in the sort of position that I think many were hoping we'd be in following the election of Ramaphosa to lead the ANC. But, let's not get too depressed. We're at Rage.
We should be happy. Let's talk about some games.
Exactly. Let's talk about Facebook. We went to a press conference this week. They've announced that they are partnering with AfricaCheck and AFP to fight fake news in South Africa. So AFP and AfricaCheck, which is a third-party fact-checking organization, where Facebook finds what it suspects could be fake news on its platform and wants it to investigate. It's going to get these organizations to have a look at it and do some investigation. And they've published a whole lot, it's much more complex than that, they've published a whole lot of details about how consumers can try and spot fake news, how do they report it, how Facebook is using its algorithms to try and find it before it spreads, how it's, when it, once it's found, it's taking it off people's news feeds so that it doesn't spread, and all this sort of thing. I don't know about you, but I haven't really seen any fake news on Facebook. But I keep a fairly tight list of friends on Facebook, and I don't.
I see it because people share news stories, and then we kind of know how to spot these things, right? We're in the media. We kind of we also understand tech, and you know when a URL, you know, is, it's not a reputable news source. And there's a lot of these, you know, whatever, into africanews.com, and that's not a real one, but something, it's always are like that. I do often, like, the headline seems weird, so especially when it's people that I know that share it, so you're obviously more cautious of it. But then you go in, click, check it out. First thing I do is check the URL. And a lot of times, I mean, whether that's a reputable site or not, that's, I guess, also debatable. If it looks, maybe, if it could be a reputable site, but it just looks a little bit like amateur hour, and then people, you know, I guess you could perceive it as fake news. But I think there is a lot more out there than you see if you got a broader friends groups. If people share a lot too.
That's true. And these sites are all about the clickbait and getting people to click so they can show Google ads or whatever sort of ads they show.
Still don't understand why. I mean, this brings me probably to another. This is another podcast on its own. But a lot of seemingly reputable websites use a service called Taboola. I don't know if you've seen that.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Why would guys do that?
Because they get paid.
Because a lot of those links in there are fake news links or just spam. You know, very rarely.
Very dodgy.
Very rarely do I see any real links to real news stories. So it doesn't make sense why you would do that. If you're just doing it for news, and you're probably in the wrong industry.
I'm always surprised when I see that on a reputable site, I must say. And there are reputable sites.
A lot of South African reputable sites use it.
Yeah, well, some of them are maybe a bit less reputable, but I haven't seen it in the tech space, in the tech news space. I don't think any of the tech publications, Tech Central certainly doesn't. But in the more general news sites, I have seen it.
Yeah, definitely the general news sites too. But, I mean, these are the big hitters. They shouldn't be looking at it.
They should know better.
They should know better.
One wonders how much money they make from Taboola. Maybe
surely
it's so
enough
much
to justify, yeah.
Yeah. It must be a reasonable amount.
But this is also the stuff that spurs on fake news and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You go to a reputable news site to read the news. Mm. You see this link at the bottom. If you don't know, right, you're going to click through because it's on the site. And then you share it. So it's feeding the wrong side of this.
And it's not only Taboola, there's something called Outbrain as well that does it. Outbrain and Taboola, those seem to be the two main offenders.
And you can look at those and
just look at the pictures. It's often a woman with cleavage or something, designed to get the men to click on it.
Or images that are designed to look like one thing, but then indeed
something else. I've noticed that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like very graphic with the description, but it goes all across the spectrum. It could be like nakedness or... Yeah.
They very cleverly use these images, though. They're very cleverly manipulated to... When you look at it, you think, wow, that's something that shouldn't be there. That looks like... something very rude.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You click on it, and it's something else.
Look, I like this collaboration. I think we need education, more education. You know.
Yeah.
We know to spot for these things inherently because we're kind of just open to it.
I just see it. Just see it.
You can make.
But I suppose your average consumer might not always be that savvy.
Yeah, exactly. Looking by the kind of stuff that gets shared by some people that I have on Facebook, you know, it's not out of any bad intent other than this looks like, well, it's a story. It must be a story. It's on the internet, right? And people don't have that. Don't realize that disconnect that they are not seeing. You know, there's a connection that they should completely ignore. You know, especially when it comes to fake news.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's good news that they're doing it. We'll have to see. I know that Africa Check has come under some criticism itself over the last little while over some of the research it's done, and there have been some calls now for fact checkers to check the fact checks.
Look, it's with the same with, you know, this is the problem with, I guess, the digital era, and we see this with security as well. You can never have a foolproof security system. You can never have a system, a tech system that's 100% secure. Because the faster the technology moves, you're going to have people that that try and circumvent it. You know, you always can have guys that's going to try something, and there's probably more guys trying to circumvent it than guys trying to protect it.
Yes.
So now, when you take this, you know, onto the news, this new fake news cycle too. You know, we have to eradicate it at the source, or at least get people not to share it, and then at least you spot it. Education is so important.
Mm. So, I think that takes care of the week's news. Let's move on to our regular features. We don't have a winner this week, but our loser this week is MTN, again. The story emerged last night, that the courts in Nigeria are getting... the Central Bank of Nigeria has filed papers in the courts in Nigeria saying that not only do they want the $8.1 billion returned, they want to levy 15% annual interest on this until such time as it's paid, plus additional monies on top of that. So there had been reports that the central bank was softening its stance on MTN. The court papers suggest that it's actually hardening its stance. So MTN share price promptly fell by 11% this morning. I haven't checked this afternoon because we've been wandering around rage, but MTN shareholders must be pulling their hair out by this point.
Yeah.
You know, the moment things are starting to look like they're improving again, the share price is moving up, they get walloped by someone in Nigeria and down it goes again. And, you know, I have to wonder if there's someone in Nigeria who's trying to get them out or buy their assets off it at a massive discount. Because, they've got a massive...
That's definitely the way to do it. If you want to do an asshole takeover and get charge of some very, very valuable...
Get your buddies
property
in the central bank to...
You devalue it, or you make it very difficult for the company to actually operate.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen this with a lot of, you know, a lot of things locally too, you know. Can see these parallels being drawn. Where does the money go? Where does the money come from?
Yeah, and Nigeria is not known as the least corrupt place on earth. So who knows? I'm speculating here, but it does all look rather dodgy to me here in Johannesburg, watching it from afar. So MTN is our loser this week. And what's your pick this week, Richard?
So I did talk about this a little earlier. I'm actually just getting it up on my phone. But Table Realms, that's the game development.
Table Realms.
But the reason why I'm picking it, this is South African, and it is really... I looked at some of the games, and I think this is going to be the way a lot of games... I mean, it's not unique in the world, but it's great to see this coming out of South Africa. The guys from Celestial Games, I've been following them for many, many years, and they've done some really incredible stuff. I don't know if you remember the Toxic Bunny.
Yes.
This is the company. This is the guys that did
guys.
It. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. They've been around for a while, and I love supporting local game developers for that very reason too.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult. These guys, you know, it's not a lifestyle that I wish on a lot of people, because it's tough and it's hard. You know, game developing it's not the kind of place where you make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But what they are producing, and I think this platform is, we're going to be seeing a lot of it. So it's definitely worth keeping an eye on. So go check them out at TableRealms.com.
TableRealms.com. Are these the guys? These aren't the same guys who do that Boot Fighter or whatever it's called that we saw downstairs.
I actually don't know.
What is it called? Boot Wrestler.
That's a different. I think that's a different gaming house. Also local developers.
Yeah.
And I think they are here as well. I saw a post up. But Boot Fighter, also one to check out. That follows on a game that they tried to launch last year called Jenga. It was a crowdsourced game that they wanted to launch. I mean, they did a very cool initiative where you could do voiceovers for it. So they wanted to find the winning guy to do the voiceovers. But sadly, the funding didn't come through. So this was a game that was kind of built off the back of that. And then they're going to come back to this other game again.
Okay.
So also, again, gaming developing in South Africa is well worth keeping an eye on. Mm. And there's some seriously cool... I mean, we've been playing some Steam games that... are pretty basic in construction, but they're fantastic, a lot of fun. You don't need high-end game studios to develop some of these games.
Mm.
But what we've seen coming out of South Africa would certainly rival some of the best in the world, I would argue.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So another reason to come through to Rage this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
My pick this week is, so I've just installed the latest Windows 10 update, which came out, I think, yesterday.
The one I've been putting off for the last...
The October, October 2018 update, I think it's called. And, you know, I have a 40-inch 4K monitor on my desk, and I have another 24-inch monitor to the left of that. I used to have a third monitor, but I decided I was overkill. But, you know, having the screen in front of you all day, it's bright white. I was actually finding my eyes starting to strain a bit and actually water sometimes when I was a bit tired and staring at the screen for hours on end. So I saw that there was a new dark mode, well, not a new dark mode, but enhancements to the dark mode in Windows 10. So I thought, let me try this out. So I switched on dark mode. It's in settings. You just flip it on. And basically makes the backgrounds to everything either dark gray or black.
Nice.
And then I went into Office and Vivaldi, which is my web browser, and all the other apps, Skype, everything I could that had a dark mode on it, and I enabled it. So my Outlook is now in dark mode or black mode, I think it's called.
It's always been a problem. You couldn't take the apps dark.
Yeah, yes.
So Office wouldn't go dark.
Yeah,
so that's nice.
Office you can make dark. Skype you can make dark. Vivaldi has a dark mode. I don't know about other web browsers. I haven't tried those. And it's amazing the impact it's had. My eyes are feeling much less strained. Sometimes you struggle you have to make some adjustments, like in Outlook, for example, flag list red on black isn't that readable.
Sure.
But you can make those adjustments in the settings. I think I'm going to stick with it. It's made my computing experience, certainly from an eyesight perspective, much more relaxing.
I wonder why it's taken so long for them to get to this point. Because
it's been there already. All they've done is made some further tweaks to it. So I just have never tried it before.
Have you not used it? Maybe I'm...
Yeah, it's under color, settings colors, I think. So the File Explorer, they hadn't implemented it in, for example. They've now done that. So the File Explorer is now black.
Okay, yeah.
So most of your apps, not all of them, but most of your apps, you can actually turn into a dark mode.
Office used to have. In the previous version, they used to have a dark mode too. Now it's a different color thing.
They've got a dark mode and a black mode.
The dark mode used to be like black, but Office only.
Uh-huh.
And then it went to like a weird light gray. But obviously this will take
on everything. I'm using Office 365, latest version, and it's got, I think it had four color modes. It had colorful, which is the default.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a white, then there was a
gray or something.
Gray,
yeah.
Then there was black, and then there was dark. I selected dark, and it wasn't dark enough, so I selected black.
Okay.
And
but now with Windows 10, it'll take over everything. So you set it to Windows 10, and everything will go dark.
No, Windows 10 doesn't control all the apps. So
no, but I'm talking about the Office reality.
Office, yeah.
Nice, definitely going to do that.
No, in Office, you still need to select the mode in the settings. After you've you don't control Office from the Windows settings, so they're two separate settings. But they obviously it's all Microsoft, so they work nicely together, so it all looks nice. And it's really sexy, it looks nice. I'll show you on my laptop. Actually, I didn't bring it with me. But I've done it on my laptop as well now. Not so much because I was straining my eyesight, I was straining on my laptop because that was not really the issue, but with the black background, it looks nice.
It looks much
and
nicer.
And I'm going to save battery life now.
Oh, yeah. That's the other benefit, right? The black pixels don't get switched on.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So that's my pick this week, Windows 10 dark mode. If you haven't tried it, and you spend a lot of time sitting in front of your computer like I do, give it a bash. You might actually find you switch to it. And I think that's our show, except for our quiz results. And you're doing the song pick this week, Rachard.
Yes, indeed.
So let's do our quiz results first. Our first question this week, which director of EOH said this week he will step down, and that is Chief Financial Officer John King, and he'd been in that role for over 10 years.
Wow. Second question, Zapper and Net1 said this week they will create a new joint venture to pursue QR payments in Africa. What is JV called? And the answer there is Zap Group Africa.
Prospective submarine cable SAX said this week it has contracted which company to do a desktop survey of the planned route? And that is Alcatel Submarine Networks.
Fourth question. Which telecom executive has been seconded to SAA's interim financial officer for a period of 12 months? And the answer is Dion Fredericks.
And Elon Musk this week poked fun at the Securities and Exchange Commission. What did he suggest the SEC stood for? And he said, Short Sellers Enrichment Commission.
Oh, Musk, he never failed to disappoint.
He never stops. Clearly, he hasn't learned a thing from the fine that was levied on him last week.
I'm sure a person like Elon Musk doesn't get fazed by these things.
But I don't think he cares.
As long as he's making the best news.
He doesn't care. Anyway, I'll be wearing my brand new Elon Musk t-shirt this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
With solidarity.
Yes.
Let's Get High. And that's our show, except we're going to play off with a track, which I'm going to cut into the podcast after the show since we are recording here live at Rage today. But Rechard, you have a pick. What is it?
Yeah, so this band has been around, indie band from the 90s. I'm sure a lot of our listeners would know or have heard, at least heard of this. But the band is Better Than Ezra, and the song is Good.
Better Than Ezra and Good. Fantastic. So if you've got any feedback on the show, 071-999-1111, 071-999-1111. Send us a voice note on WhatsApp and we will include it in our next show. And get down to Rage. It's pretty cool here. I'm gonna have another look around before I disappear for the weekend. Rechard will be here all weekend if you want to come and say how's it to him. I'm sure he'll be near the media room or playing games somewhere.
Playing games, taking photographs,
doing
trying interviews. To stay away from the bad food.
The bad food, yeah, indeed.
Expo food's never good.
Yeah, that burry roll I had a bit earlier is starting to repeat, so we should probably cut the podcast here.
Yeah.
But enjoy the Better Than Ezra, and we will be talking to you again in our normal studio setting next Sunday.
Next Sunday, that's it.
Cheers, everyone.
Ciao, ciao.
Yeah, you were so good.